Well, LSU just landed their 15th transfer in 7 banks. They now have the most transfers of any school in the country. But what can their transfers come in and do? How can they contribute immediately? But not just their transfers, but also their freshmen. Who's coming into their program and can make an immediate impact? Also, who are we looking at for the 2023 class? Our friend John Garcia Jr. joins us, Director of Recruiting for Sports Illustrated. He'll join us today to break all of it down in today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Today's episode of Locked On LSU is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net has you covered this season with more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. I'm Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. And John Garcia Jr. joins us in today's episode, Director of Recruiting for Sports Illustrated, and general just knower of all things recruiting and transfer portal. John, thank you for joining us again this week. Always enjoy talking with you. But first and foremost, transfer portal, because LSU has brought in so many players in the transfer portal. So many players have gone out in the transfer portal. And really the meat and potatoes of this team has really been built up through the transfer portal. And the most recent one is 7 Banks, cornerback coming in from Ohio State. And we just had our mailbag Wednesday, and we had a person ask, like, is 7 Banks the kind of player that can come in and contribute immediately? And to what I said was, he's going to have to be, because this cornerback room is just does not have enough depth to it. But in your expert opinion, can 7 Banks come in and contribute to this team immediately with his limited experience at Ohio State?
I agree with you, Caroline. I think he has no choice. I mean, this cornerback room in particular saw so much attrition after the 2021 season that they basically had to overhaul it through the portal and or with true freshmen. So if you could bring in a prospect with experience like a 7 Banks, I do think it does help. Is it considerable experience? No. But if you go back to his high school days, you know, he's a Floridian, big physical corner, 6'1", coming out of the Orlando area. We saw a ton to like about him. Played receiver in high school as well. So he's got good ball skills, good length to his frame as well. And look, sometimes these kids just need a fresh start. I mean, Ohio State has loaded up on defensive backs year in, year out. So that's the type of school that, hey, if there's a portal prospect at the position, it might be worth looking into as a kid looks for playing time. And I don't think you leave in Ohio State unless you're going somewhere where you know, hey, I've really got a chance to play a ton of football. And obviously LSU going through their transition has that affordable opportunity for a kid like that. And I think Banks, the fresh start will be big for him in terms of the timing. You know, you would have liked it sooner, right? You would have liked for him to go through spring ball just to get a little bit more associated with the rest of his defensive backs and getting a better feel for what the scheme will look like. But he'll get on campus here in short order and be ready for fall camp. Plenty of time in the off season to dive into the schematics of it. But from a physical athletic standpoint, 7 Banks profiles like an LSU corner, and he has the ability of an LSU corner in what's become kind of a pass-happy SEC West. So you need as many DBs as you can get.
Yeah, pass-happy SEC West is right. We're looking at the likes of Alabama and, of course, Lane Kiffin's just high-octane offense. But you mentioned that 7 Banks is someone who can do it all. And, of course, having that wide receiver experience, so incredibly valuable at that position, just kind of having the knowledge of, I know what you're going to do. I know what this wide receiver is going to do before you even know you're going to do it. But you say that he has a lot of different skills. What do you think that he does best? What exactly is LSU getting in 7 Banks?
I think it's his physical ability. You know, 6'1", probably, 200 pounds or so? I don't know what LSU listed him as, but he's a big physical corner. And I think LSU has had tall corners, Eli Ricks, Cardell Flott, guys like mm-hmm. that, but not the most physical corners. And I think when you want to, you know, play big boy football in the SEC, you've got to line up against these receivers and reroute them at the line of scrimmage. You have to disrupt the timing between Bryce Young and his receivers, between, I was going to say, Matt Corral, whoever wins the job at Ole Miss, and their wide receivers. You've got to play into that. And I think Banks has that competitiveness to play at the line of scrimmage. Now, can he polish up relative to LSU's scheme? He'll have to as he assimilates, but I think foundationally he's got the confidence and the frame and physicality to reroute receivers at the line of scrimmage. I think that's probably going to be his calling card. He's willing to come up in run support, and he can play the football as well. So those are all great traits. But I think being a physical kind of enforcing corner can get him on the field fastest at LSU, and that's really what they need.
And while we're on the topic of corners, also looking at the Dallas prospect as safety, looking at defensive backs, Ryan Yates coming in the 2023 class, LSU lands Ryan Yates. He's going to be facing some of the best wide receivers in the country, like you mentioned, going to be facing very pass-happy offenses. And like we mentioned, this is it's not a very stout cornerback room. And I think us LSU fans look at it like we're not used to that. We're not used to having very thin talent at the cornerback position. Do you think that Ryan Yates is a player that can come in as a freshman and being able to contribute immediately?
Maybe. You know, I saw him play a couple weeks ago in Dallas at a 7-on-7, and I was really fascinated with his length. He's not the tallest DB, but he's got great length to him and his ball skills. I mean, he was attacking the football in 7-on-7 better than anyone on his team. And his whole secondary for the 940 Elite 7-on-7 team, they're all D1 kids. They're all Division I type prospects. So I like Yates. He stood out a ton. I think he's an attacking type of defensive back. And I think because of his frame, you know, about 6 foot, maybe 6'1", it brings some versatility, Caroline, in terms of where he can line up. You know, will he be a traditional corner or safety? Can he play nickel? I think some of that savvy that we get to see with him can start to play on the football field. And again, in this day and age, you need 4, 5, 6, 7 defensive backs given the offenses you're going to face. So if you can play more than one position, you can see the field that much faster. Yates comes from an excellent high school program as well, a great competition in the state of Texas. And we all know what LSU has done with defensive backs from the state of Texas. So if he could be the next good one, doesn't have to be great, if he could be the next good one, I think he could see the football field as maybe a nickel or a rover type.
And I think that's what this LSU team, with it being so new and so fresh, you know, serviceable and being out there to just make plays. Doesn't got to be fancy. You can just play gritty football, just go out there and make plays. That's really all we're asking for in the early stages of the Brian Kelly era with LSU. But we talked so much about players coming into LSU. We've also had a few go out. So some of the holes that have been left through the transfer portal, how LSU can fill those. I want to get that to that with John coming up next. But before I do that, I want to tell y'all about Athletic Greens, because I'm constantly on the go, and it's really hard to find a healthy alternative to quick and fast food. I wanted more energy throughout the day since I've got so much going on, and Athletic Greens makes it so easy to do that. It's lifestyle friendly, so if you have dietary restrictions, whether you're keto, you're paleo, you're vegan, you're dairy-free, you're gluten-free, no worries, Athletic Greens is good for you. It supports better sleep quality, and I know that we all can get some better sleep. Recovery supports mental clarity, alertness. I know that sometimes I get that like 2 p.m., 3 p.m. brain fog. With Athletic Greens, it's that jolt that I need throughout the day. So drop your Starbucks habit, drop your iced coffee habit, because Athletic Greens is so much more cost effective than that. It costs you less than $3 a day. It's cheaper than getting all of the supplements yourself, and you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. So right now, it's your time to claim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. It's super simple. No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/college. That's athleticgreens.com/college to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. The NFL draft is kicking off soon, and fans are dying to know who their team is going to take. So check out Odyssey and Locked On's NFL mock draft special running now. It has all the info and analysis all week leading up to the first pick. You've got 6 episodes and more than 70 insiders and experts. We're bringing you the most complete NFL mock draft coverage out there. Find it on the Odyssey app or on the Locked On NFL podcast feed. We appreciate John Garcia of Sports Illustrated joining us, breaking down all things recruiting and all things transfer portal. But we mentioned seven Banks, a transfer coming into LSU from Ohio State. We also mentioned Ryan Yates in the 2023 class, both defensive backs, how they can contribute to this LSU team. We've also got some players leaving LSU. Corey Kiner, announced he was transferring out of LSU, a running back, going to Cincinnati. My first question for you, because we can speculate all day long, but what do you think that move was motivated by?
Well, look, this LSU running back room is pretty crowded. You know, we talked about the need for defensive backs. There's not a whole lot of need for running backs on this current roster. You know, John Emery's probably the leader in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. You brought in a Noah Kane. You signed some freshmen. Armani Goodwin's coming back. So I think it was a bit of a crowded running back room at LSU. And look, everybody who was on the 2021 roster just went through a coaching change. So we just mentioned how the portal has been so fruitful for LSU in the addition front, but there's also been a lot of attrition because that's just natural when you change coaching staff. This isn't the group that Corey Kiner committed to, not to alliterate too much, but he's very familiar with the group. And I think, you know, he did what you can only ask every kid to do, stick through it through the spring, kind of see how that goes, and then go from there, reassess from there. And obviously he found the need to go elsewhere. He's from Cincinnati, so he goes back home. Back to his home state where he was Mr. Football in Ohio a couple years ago when he was a member of our SI 99 rankings. And he goes for a fresh start there at UC. And when you announce your intentions to hit the portal and then you announce your destination right after that.
I mean, he knew where he was going.
There was some thought going into that. And I think, you know, Cincinnati did a good job recruiting him out of high school. There was talk about a flip briefly at the end of the high school time that Corey Kiner spent. So going back home makes a lot of sense for a kid like that, especially in a crowded backfield with a new coaching staff. It just kind of is what it is.
And it is kind of interesting to see when we've talked so much about kind of the back and forth from Notre Dame, and also Cincinnati and LSU have just been flirting with each other so much this past year with Mike Denbrock coming in from Cincinnati as well. But you mentioned that the running back room is fairly crowded. Of course, the John Emery injury coming out of practice, it's a cause for concern, but not too much for concern because this is a crowded running back room and it's just an ankle sprain. But there is a couple rooms, for example, at LSU that aren't incredibly crowded and that do need a lot more depth. We mentioned cornerback being one of them, but offensive line is very much one of those as well. And of course, LSU is going to be relying on their freshman and Will Campbell to possibly contribute in year one. I'll ask you that first and foremost. Will Campbell coming into LSU, an early enrollee at LSU. Already, I listened to an interview of his from a couple days ago, already put on 13 pounds in just the past couple of months that he's been at LSU. Do you think that's the kind of player? I mean, he's expected to start at left tackle. That's an incredibly important offensive line position. Is that almost asking too much for a freshman, or do you think that's something that's a workload that he can take on?
Yeah, I mean, that is asking a lot. I mean, I think Will Campbell is one of the most decorated offensive linemen to come out in the class of 2022, one of the top players at his position, in-state kid, so he understands pretty much everything about LSU and stuck with the program through the transition. There was really no drama with his recruitment after Brian Kelly took over, which I thought said a lot about his buy-in. And then, as you mentioned, Caroline, he enrolls early, goes through the allotment of spring and puts on good weight. So these are all very positive signs for Campbell. I think he's really light on his feet for being such a big guy, even with 13 new pounds added to his frame. I thought he probably, you know, would start on the right side, maybe guard action early on, just easier to transition there from a high school senior to a college freshman. But in a pinch, you know, he's been there, done that. I mean, he's a lifetime left tackle to this point. So he does have that experience. He showed really well in the All-American circuit going against fellow elite recruits at left tackle last year, probably up this stock December into January, right before he got to LSU. So he's faced great competition. Obviously, he faces it every day in the spring. And I think him enrolling early is probably the difference between, well, maybe he'll play another position or maybe he can play left tackle. So I think the timeline here does work if you do need Will Campbell to play there. But obviously, that puts a bit of a strain on the position group as a whole, because even if you're the best true freshman, you're still a true freshman, and that's asking quite a lot in a league like the SEC.
It is, and I think that putting all of your eggs into a basket of hope, of, you know, hoping that he's ready for it, hoping that he can put on the weight and he can acclimate to college football, is kind of a lot. So I think that, you know, with the two remaining spots in LSU's transfer portal eligibility, I'm looking at least one of those being an offensive line. Do you look at the transfer portal? Do you think there's one offensive lineman out there that has enough experience, has the good size that can come in and kind of fill that role if Will Campbell can't fill the left tackle role or needs another year underneath him?
Yeah, you know, LSU has been trying to hit the portal via the offensive line route for some time. They were in it for Tyler Steen before he jumped on board with Alabama. And here's the thing, you know, it's this last weekend, the LSU spring game is coming up. A lot of other spring games are coming up. So guess what we're going to see? We're going to see more players hit the transfer portal. So I do think that there's a handful in there now, but it could be behoove of LSU and Brian Kelly to play a little bit patient and see who jumps in after this week, because inevitably there's going to be a bunch of new names in the portal. So I would not be surprised to see them attack the offensive tackle spot, particularly if you can, again, swipe a player with experience at the position. We've seen that be almost a prerequisite to all the other transfer portal gets for LSU, but it would really be paramount at the offensive line spot, even if it's not offensive tackle, because you just need to find a way to get your five best linemen on the field, regardless of their projected position. So I'd be curious to see how the portal looks now versus how it looks a week from now, because I do think there's going to be another influx, and Brian Kelly certainly knows that.
And that is a very fair point. And once we see all of these schools get their spring games behind them, then look and see what where their intentions lie. But I think another position group of need is tight end. Nick Storr is coming back after health complications, but that's not the solution at tight end, especially in this new coaching staff that just loves to use the tight end, both in a blocking and kind of a receiver role. So I'll ask you the same question about the tight end position. Is there any player out there on the market, or do you think that could potentially enter the transfer portal before that May 1st deadline that LSU could snag and plug into this offense?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Notre Dame's spring game is this weekend too, right? So, you know, there's some Brian Kelly targets, you know, there that he landed that I'd be curious to see. You know, that tight end room is absolutely loaded behind Michael Mayer. But look, this is a different style, right, with the tight ends that are currently on the roster. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, Notre Dame, Brian Kelly wanted balanced tight ends, almost classic tight end types. And there's not that many on the LSU roster. Even if you bulk up a Jack Besh, which I know was the plan at one point to become this kind of hybrid tight end, he still doesn't quite fit the classic mold of the position. So that's another spot where I look to see in the portal how it looks a week from now, because I do think there could be some options. I know a couple tight ends recently came off the board in the portal as well. It's like the housing market, right? It's just like you have to jump on immediately or wait. And I think waiting could again help a school like LSU, because it's an easy sell. It's maybe an easier sell than the offensive line, because there's just such a track record of success at tight end. So yeah, I mean, I'd keep an eye on that Notre Dame roster, the Cincinnati roster too, with Denbrock coming over. That could be fruitful for LSU down the line, but there will be options in there. There's not as many as the offensive linemen, because tight ends have largely been snatched up, but we'll see.
And you do mention Jack Besh, who came into LSU as a tight end, but I would not be surprised if you saw it. The two letters W and R sitting next to Jack Besh's name on the roster this year, emerging as, you know, one of Max Johnson's favorite pass catchers once Kayshon Boutte went down with an injury. So I do think that I see Jack Besh moving into that wide receiver room, which leaves even more holes in the tight end position. But coming up next, you did mention it. LSU has their spring game coming up, so I wanted to get your thoughts on what to be looking for. And also, they've got some big-time recruits that will be visiting the spring game. What can they do to kind of wine, dine, and wow these recruits? I would want to get into that coming up next. But first, I want to tell you all about betonline.net, because it is your number one source for all of your betting stats and sports information. All the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. I know all of you New Orleans Pelicans fans out there have been thoroughly enjoying the basketball playoffs, so throw some money on the Dirty Birds on betonline.net. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. John Garcia joins us, breaking down all things recruiting. He's the director of recruiting for Sports Illustrated. But like I mentioned, LSU heading back into Tiger Stadium this weekend for the LSU spring game. They've got some big-time names and recruits that'll be visiting this weekend, including five-star quarterback Dante Moore. What do you think? Well, first and foremost, we as LSU fans, who should we be looking at on the sidelines? What recruits are coming into LSU this weekend, including Dante Moore? Who should we look at?
Well, I think it starts with Dante Moore, right? I mean, this was the guy that, you know, the Brian Kelly's been personally recruiting for quite some time. Dante has admitted to me that, hey, you know, that coaching change was the biggest one that affected my recruitment. You know, multiple schools that are in on him changed coaching staff. But he said, look, this one, Notre Dame to LSU, made the most sense in terms of impacting him because he was obviously being recruited by Notre Dame. He's a Midwest kid from Detroit, Michigan. But he was also being recruited by LSU. So he had been to Baton Rouge a couple of times under Ed Orgeron, and now he wants to see how it feels under Brian Kelly. And I believe this visit is an official visit, Caroline. So he can come for 48 hours on LSU's dime. That means five-star hotel, steaks every night, the whole deal. And it's not just Dante. Family members will be invited to do the same. And I think that plays paramount in his potential decision, which has started to slow down. Like before, early this spring, we thought Dante could come off the board sooner rather than later. And that would probably favor the Midwest schools, you know, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. But now as time has gone on and he's visited schools outside of the region, Oregon, LSU, Miami, et cetera, now all of a sudden he's kind of slowing down with the process and wanting to take more official visits. So LSU getting an official visit, absolutely huge in the pursuit of Dante Moore. He's obviously familiar with Brian Kelly, and he's familiar with Baton Rouge. So it's kind of everything else, the atmosphere, all the things that LSU has always been able to sell, that stuff has to be on display for Dante to take in. And I think his buddy visiting campus the same weekend is pretty big too, with Carnell Tate also taking his official visit. Another Midwest kid, another kid who, let's be honest, Carnell is probably going to commit to Notre Dame late in the fall. I mean, this was a plan he had. I think he was originally going to commit in October. He pushed it back towards the end of the year. But even then, there was a very Notre Dame feel to it. He was going to pick Brian Kelly's program. Of course, all hell breaks loose in the coaching carousel. Everybody moves around, and he backs off of making that commitment. But here's LSU and Brian Kelly back in it with Carnell Tate. And he's another one that, as time has gone on, maybe looking more outside the region. Initially, Notre Dame, Ohio State. Now, loved his Tennessee visit, maybe pairing with their quarterback commitment. Now going to check out LSU to see what's going on with their recruiting process. And again, this is a kid who's become well-traveled, a absolute headlining, maybe number one receiver in the country type of recruit, the type of recruit that when he makes a commitment, everybody notices. So if LSU can land one or both of these guys, it's a big deal, but it is also a big deal that they're visiting together because they are very close.
And in your experience, do you place any sort of importance with them taking their official visits the weekend of the spring game? Do you think there's any sort of correlation there?
I do, because normally, you know, you just want to, you want an official visit, period, right? If you're courting these guys. But what's special about doing it on a spring game weekend is, one, for a transition coaching staff like this, you get to see that product in person. Not only the game, like we all get to watch on TV, but you're going to be, if you're Dante, you're going to be in the quarterback meeting room. If you're Carnell, you're in the wide receiver room leading up to that and then after the game. So you get the full kind of game day experience in the spring, which obviously only comes once a year. So I think that's important. And then, of course, the fans, right? This is Baton Rouge. This is LSU. This is one of those fan experiences that should speak for itself. So the fan anticipation of the spring game should only help in reminding these two Midwesterners, like, hey, this is the SEC, this is LSU, like, this is a big deal down here. So I think that's important for the spring game as well. Because when you come for a scrimmage or another spring practice, it's just the team, it's just the players, just the coaches.
It's kind of
everyone now, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you can only go to a couple spring games because they're only on Saturdays. So I think that's really fortunate for LSU, again, especially built around an official visit, because it will be about much more things over those 48 hours.
John, I really appreciate you coming on, your expert analysis and insight on LSU's recruiting. Please tell the people where they can find you.
Real simple, si.com/college or on Twitter. It's my name, JohnGarcia_JR.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much, John. I look forward to chatting with you soon.
Sounds good, Caroline. Take care.
All right, you too. Sean Garcia, he is the best. He is Locked On's recruiting insider. We're looking forward to having him on the show much, much more now that we get into the nitty-gritty of the recruiting trail. But that is going to do it for me today. Make sure to check out tomorrow's episode because I'll have a full preview for what to look at for LSU spring game. Now make your second listen Locked On NFL Draft. Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.